Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
The Morning Shift is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This, as always, is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you, and we are in the Kia Studios live, which is the usual. And greetings. I see you have your camouflage on this morning.
Yeah, I didn't want you to see me. You can't see me. I'm John Cena this morning.
Who are you talking to, Tiff?
Bo, it's like a camouflage.
I don't see anybody over there.
You know what? You guys,
I thought for sure you would follow along with that. You're like, whoa.
I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, I didn't want Mike to be able to look at me and say, What day is it? Because I did not want to play into that that ridiculous nonsense.
Again, it goes back to the lame, corny aspect of the show that we discussed. That feels like it was an eternity ago.
But didn't we identify the
Anyway, so
she was in her feels about that corny comment, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I don't really get in my feels.
Like, you can call me anything except corny.
It's funny the things that ruffle her feathers and the things that just go right off. Oh yes, it did.
Guys, let me tell you, I went home and I could not sleep over that comment. Let me tell you, it really got, you know.
I
would believe you, except for we could see the look on your face in here before you got home. So yeah, I don't believe you.
Well, the fact that you just
after I left,
you might not have, but subconsciously, if it wasn't topical, you wouldn't have dropped the corny bit right there. I think you needed a chance to throw it back. You had to throw it back over there.
No, it's just the opportunity presented itself.
Do you think I'm more corny than Dylan?
Dylan's face right now.
No, I don't think that. I think Dylan's is yours is done in a dad way, and Dylan is done as in a kind-hearted, innocent way.
Sure. I agree with both those things.
Because you're not a nice guy. You are, but you also have a mean streak in you. And I say that lovingly because that's the competitive side. Well, look, I mean, every Alabama story he says, yeah, I mean, we were at practice and got in a fight. And
I've never told a story like that. Never.
You told a story yesterday off the air like that.
No, that's beside the point.
Dylan, your mic works. Back me up here.
Not that's Dylan. Besides the point.
I mean, my goodness. I get the bad reputation on this show as the jerk. I've got corny Blackman over here and angry Mike Johnson to my left, and I'm the one that gets the bad rep.
Well, you are a kind-hearted soul, and don't let anybody tell you different.
All right, now you've You've taken it too far. You've taken
that,
it too far.
That just made you angry.
Someone told you you were kind and you just got mad.
Well, we don't need to lie.
There's been a lot of Bama stories going around this week because of the Saban Field thing and like all the players, you know, coming together in Tuscaloosa, and I was there and somebody was talking about how there was a fight in the bus, the Alabama bus, on the way to the 2015 game against Clemson, the national championship. There was like a fight on the way, but they're like, that's just how it was. And I was like, that's 100% how it was. Like, I think we fought on the bus to practice every day on when we were out in California for the national championship game. It's just how it was, man. It's just always edgy. But, yeah, you're right, man. I don't know if that means I have a mean streak. I'm just very irritable.
Like, was this obviously not, like, physical? Was it just heated words and people pretending to hold people back? I mean,
you're on the bus. Yeah, absolutely physical.
You're on the bus?
100% physical.
That's a tight space for big dudes.
Yeah, trust me. There's furniture being ruined on those things.
Mean streak was probably an extreme choice of words.
Fair enough.
Wait, did you fight anybody on the bus?
Yes.
I will not say yes or no, Tiff.
Yes.
I will not incriminate myself in this.
On a bus?
No.
Can I ask you yes or no?
Who did you fight?
Yeah, who did you fight on the bus?
No, I'm definitely not going
was
down
it someone,
that route.
Was it someone on defense?
Of course. course. I don't know if I've ever met a defensive lineman that I like.
I'll ask you this.
Shout out to John Abraham. Saw him in the media suite the other day.
I don't think that's a fight you
want
to pick.
I don't want any of that smoke.
The man was called the Predator for a reason.
I don't want any of that smoke.
Over under at Alabama fights per week that Mike Johnson was involved
in practice.
In practice, I'm gonna set the number at 4. Over under.
We'll go under, but slightly. It was like probably
4.5.
No, it was less than 1 a day, so that's why I'd go under.
Less than one a day. I'm surprised.
Told you.
It was amped up back then, man. It was amped up. I fought our backup quarterback one time.
What the hell?
I know. He was complaining about his protection. You know me. I was like, nah, man. I ain't the one.
This is why, if you're listening right now at 6:07, this is why whenever I started an offensive lineman and Tiffany goes, Mike, can you sit back down? There is real truth to that because my life is now in danger,
man,
for being honest and telling the truth.
You really fought people. I don't really even know.
It's not one of my...
Actually, I'll go with this. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured. I am Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury.
That's why I won't be talking about those buses, Tiff.
It's as simple as this. Mike's just got that dog in him, and if you bring it out, you know, it'll start barking.
There we go. That's why he's the corniest person on this show.
That was that.
Dylan is like a walking no fear motto shirt writer. Like he could write.
I love it though,
Dylan
man.
Could write all the no fear
this
shirts.
That's what you need in the morning.
Dylan
would
be writing like Hallmark cards. That wasn't even like hard enough to go on a no fear t-shirt.
Little secret between you, me, and the rest of Atlanta. I gave Dan Quinn fast and physical. That was me all along.
Oh yeah, there you go. Is... Print it on a shirt.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. Well, you think the Falcons could use more fast than a physical play when they meet the Eagles on Monday Night Football next week, week 2 of the season. And
they could on the offensive line.
Just hang out right here.
And here's the thing. Because you know how irritated I am about this.
Look, there is.
But you know why? Because I thought about this yesterday, and I was kind of going in on Zach Robinson, and I was like, you know, and you were like, this is so unlike you. Usually, it's like you're the one that's calm and like, hey, they'll get it together. And I honestly diagnosed it later, and I think the hate that is given to Caleb McGarry is the reason that I'm so mad about Zach Robinson.
Well, let's hold on before you go any further. Let's be fair, Caleb McGarry is not without blame on September 11, 2024, for what happened on September 8th, especially on that first possession and when they're inside the 10 and he overreaches on a block, you played right tackle, I didn't, but that is a technique issue.
It is. It's a tough block, but yes, it's a technique issue for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
But Zach Robinson's not without blame either. Kirk Cousins made terrible decisions when he knew he shouldn't have.
I think that the best offensive coordinators, the best play callers, the best play designers can always, and this is why it's never as glaring as what you saw this past weekend, because usually you'll learn a lesson, right, and you'll do things a little bit differently. You don't just have one plan and use Kyle Pitts to chip on the way out, and that's your plan. Usually you have a number of different options, and you keep those guys off balance. Throw screens over the top. You run a draw. You run a bootleg. You keep, you know. And that's why it becomes frustrating for me to watch, because I'm watching the game going, man, Caleb McGarry's struggling. And the more and more it goes along, I'm like, somebody help the guy. For the love of God, somebody step in there and help him. And yet, you know, nobody on that sideline was doing anything to help the man out. So he's definitely not without fault. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But there are things you can do to alleviate some of those stressors. And you better believe that they better be alleviating them on Monday night, because that's not going to get easier for some of those interior guys, for sure.
It's not, but why do we have to use the word blame? Can't we just, everyone shares in the loss, right? It's a team sport.
Well, I haven't.
I just wanted to ruffle some feathers, and clearly Mike is thinking about, or you.
Well, I think you're right.
I think you're right.
But I think the blame is on one side of the ball primarily. You can blame the defense for a couple of plays here and there, but...
Oh, I meant share the blame on that side.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, then
nice work retracing your steps.
Yeah. We're good to go. We're good to go then.
Okay, good to turn the page. what kind of game do they need to have against the Eagles? Do you feel like this might be a high-scoring affair?
Well, I can assure you that the Eagles are going to score a touchdown offensively. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
I just want to say crazy things.
I mean...
I'm just trying to keep it in the line.
You know, I'm just
I am
flying around here.
You know what's and the interesting part, and Tiff, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, ask that question. I don't know how to design a world and where where that happens. And look, I know that Reem has talked about Kirk Cousins' health this week, and it's fine. And this was the plan. Everything else going on, it's just not fine. The bottom line is that should have never been the plan, and if that had to be the plan, then you need to find a backup plan. And it's just you need your defense to be locked down, and not only that, you might need a defensive turnover. How about that? How about a pick six from an AJ Terrell that really can turn the tide of things in the way you look at this team? Because as it sits right now, it's just I don't know, man.
Did you see Warren Sharp, before we go to break? Did you see Warren Sharp's breakdown of Justin Fields? Where he threw the ball on Sunday. Yeah. This, for the record, not a knock on Justin Fields. I thought it was actually a little bit of a genius from Arthur Smith. He didn't throw one ball in the middle of the field. One ball was in the middle of the field. You know why? Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons.
I think, on the flip side, I'm not sure Kirk threw one past the 5-yard box outside the numbers.
And there's another thing, but I just thought that was, and guess what? Some of that might have had to do with what was there too, but I thought that was brilliant by Arthur keeping the ball and away from the ball hawkers when your quarterback has an accuracy issue 15 yards in.
More Falcons talk is on the way, and college football, is this an early glimpse at rivalry week? I'll be there for one of these matchups. We'll discuss next on The Morning Shift when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Morning Shift. Make some noise! The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, what's that on your desk? Over there.
What, my Phil Steele? My college football Bible?
There you go.
Yeah, look, I got this thing.
What's
I've
on
got
the front of that thing?
Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Carson Beck.
Some talk of Quinn Ewers being the Heisman favorite now.
There is.
Let's bring it back. I think Carson Beck is still, to me, I think Carson Beck is going to, well, they go head to head, but I think Carson Beck's going to have plenty of time to prove he's still that dude. There's a poise about him that just is very, if I was a Georgia fan, it'd be very comforting for me.
Huh, well, let's keep the college football train going.
It's time to talk college football on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Saturday. This is now, what, week three? I always try to keep up. College football's ahead of NFL by, like, basically a week.
Yeah.
If you don't count the 0 week.
It's weird, too, because, the NFL goes through preseason, and you see those, and they start before anything college football does, and then it ramps up quicker in college. So
This is true. So, in our own backyard, we got VMI at Georgia Tech this weekend, and then you've got Vanderbilt at Georgia State.
Yeah, it's a bounce-back opportunity for Tech.
It is. And you know what? Georgia State, Vanderbilt, this will be a really good test. A really good test. Because Vanderbilt, last weekend... Two weekends ago. Against
Bot Tech.
So we'll see how that shakes out. There's also kind of some, I guess, a little bit of a rivalry week going on, an earlier edition of that. When you look at some of these other matchups. But we can start first. You want to take a shot at the Gators? Do I hear Texas A&M at Florida?
This is an important game for both programs.
It really is.
Both of them have early week one losses at home, I should say, to what looked like good opponents. Notre Dame now is kind of off the beaten path with, I guess, they felt themselves a little too much.
Rough.
But the DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz thing, I was talking to somebody that's close to Gainesville yesterday, and basically, it was one of those deals where I was asking about Napier, and he said, look, Napier's biggest issue is Napier refuses to move away from what his little plan is. And sometimes you can't, you have to.
He Billy, called it a little plan, Tiff.
Well, I threw in the word little.
Yeah, I haven't used that in a long time.
I know. I think I've started using it now because of you. Thank you for that. But I'll say this. Billy better not hesitate. There is no plan. Okay? You're in survival mode. And if you want to survive, you need to play DJ Lagway or honestly play the hot hand at quarterback and do everything. Win at all costs. Win at all costs on Saturday at 3:30.
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I remember thinking before the year started, so you might have to correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, but is this the most – this might be one of the two most winnable games still left on Florida's schedule?
I think UCF and Miss State are somewhat winnable, and based on what I saw from Kentucky last week, I do believe that is a winnable game as well.
No disrespect to Kentucky, but that is where your dogs are at. And so would you classify this as a Georgia, the number one team in the land, just needs to take care of business? Or are you not including Kentucky in this fight?
I think based on what we saw last week, Mike, going into Kroger Field this week for Georgia, that Mark Stoops will have them prepared and basically they'll be focused. But Carson Beck beat Brock Vandergriff out for a reason, and I think the better quarterback will prevail on Saturday.
I mean, that's always usually the case. And here's what Mark Stoops' team has to do. They have to avoid penalties. They have to play their brand of football. They have to do the things that they do. And truth be told, these programs, as crazy as it is because there's a different skill level, but these programs actually play pretty similarly when you really kind of look at the way they go about things. So, well-coached team.
Like rosters, basically.
Yeah, I mean, then you do the roster math, and you're like, okay, well, that guy's a little bit faster than that guy. That guy's a better running back. That guy, but schematically, you have to do a lot of the same things. I guess my point saying is that to bring up, the only way that, to me, in my opinion, the only way Georgia gets any kind of hiccup is you get penalties along the way. If it's one of those 10 penalty games, then, Kentucky can stay in it. But otherwise, this is, and it's going to be like this for Georgia for a while. It's Georgia's game to lose until they don't win.
It's the difference in he's good at what he does. He's probably the best in the country at what he does.
Correct.
And that's the Georgia roster to the UK roster.
That's correct. You're completely spot on.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Let's take a listen to what Kirby Smart thinks about their opponent this weekend.
They're just as dangerous, whether they won or lost that game, in my opinion. I mean, I don't get into the whole, we're going to prepare the same way regardless of what happened in that game. A lot of things went wrong quickly for them in that game, and it snowballed in some ways. And I know what they're capable of. I've seen them on tape. I know the football players they got. I know how physical they are. I know how they're coached. And we got to get ready for a really tough opponent.
I love it. Kirby knows the deal. No, I'm not falling for it.
Kirby probably has Georgia believing they're like a 10-point underdog in this game.
Yeah, you have to.
That's just what he does.
Look at the Marcus Freeman comments that have come out this week. Look at the Marcus Freeman comments. He's like, man, we lost in Illinois because we believed our own hype. And he was basically saying, it's the first time as a coach I've ever been in that situation, and I won't be in it again.
After the Clemson game, KJ Bolden came out and said, yeah, they said we don't play freshmen at Georgia. And I'm like, who the hell said that?
Who said that?
Brock Bowers was the best player on the national championship team as a freshman. Who said that?
Let them do whatever it takes.
I mean, it's just funny.
That's what you got to tell yourself. All right, Alabama at Wisconsin.
Woo!
Intriguing.
Thank God for Alabama, for me, that is a early game. Even though it's going to be a raucous environment, I don't think they would have wanted to go up and square up in Camp Randall, if it had been a night game. Here's about Wisconsin and some of the things I've looked at. Wisconsin is having an identity crisis. Wisconsin is no longer the two tight end, fullback, H-back, cowboy collar, downhill kind of team. They run like a Phil Longo system who was at Ole Miss 5 or 6 years ago. It's like an air raid still mixed with a Wisconsin offensive line. And it looks funny, right? They also have Tyler Van Dyke, the Miami transfer quarterback. So they do things a little bit differently, really, than any other team probably in college football. But I don't know if they've made the full-on transition to air raid or if they're still ground and pound. There's still a little bit of both I don't know which side of the two-face that Alabama's going to get this weekend, but Alabama's got to avoid the penalties if they're going to do anything.
Never thought I would hear the words identity crisis at Wisconsin as long as Barry Alvarez was there, because Barry Alvarez has been the reason Wisconsin has stayed exactly what they have.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit shocking to me that he yielded to Luke Fickell, probably just to get him and agreed to change, you know, allow that, because whether you like it or not, people can say, oh, he doesn't have control. He has had his complete control of that program for, 30 years?
Yeah. Well, and look, this is going to be a massive spread. The bottom line is the spread is only going to be as good as Bama's penalties. They absolutely – in the first half last week, Bama had 180 yards called back on offense because of penalties. And if that happens again, Wisconsin's going to run away with this game.
So we have a kind of a glimpse at Rivalry Week, an earlier edition of it going on out west. And I'll tell you where I'll be this weekend. I'll be in Colorado, because it's Colorado against Colorado State up in Fort Collins.
Is it just as spicy this year as it was last year, Tiff?
I think it will be just as spicy. I think, I mean, two in-state rivals, based on what happened last year, too. There's always a lot of talking. So I'll be going through some meetings this week, and we'll find out some more information about this one, but this is probably going to be a good matchup. It's the night game, too, on CBS.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good game for you to get. You're going to get to, obviously, sit down with Coach Prime and company. Look, this game was amazing last year. I think it went to overtime, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't...
Slugfest.
I don't... Yeah. I could see it doing it being a similar game. And Deion's talked already that he still thinks that offensive line can get the job done. I don't know, Mike. You tell me. I just think they need to make a bigger commitment to try to run the ball. I mean,
and he said as much. And it's funny because that's a massive shift in terms. You want to talk about offensive coordinators not helping an offensive line out? I went on about Zach Robinson earlier. It's a much bigger deal in the NFL, but it's like, oh, Shadur keeps getting sacked, and yet we just still drop back and throw it 50 times a game. Like, dude, like, you know, at some point you have to kind of learn a little bit of a lesson here and help somebody out.
There's a lot going on there. So we'll have our hands full this weekend with that matchup. All right, that is the music for me to go to break. Isn't that right, Dylan? Is this, what is this? I can hear it. I can't kind of hear it.
This is Michael Jackson. Love Never Felt.
Let me put both earpieces in. There we go. Okay.
There you go.
All right. I was like,
you digging it? You digging the vibes?
I'm digging the vibes here. All right. And also, you guys are probably digging your Braves. They bounced back from being shut out Monday. Details and a TV's timeout on the way on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What are the haps?
Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
The morning shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, my. Michael hits this into outer space. That thing is gone. That was a high, towering solo shot. 2-0 for Harris. And it's 12-0.
And Brandon Gaudin on that 12-0 call of your Atlanta Braves, courtesy Bally Sports. That was the final as the Braves beat the Nationals. And yes, you heard Michael Harris, Money Mike. He had two of Atlanta's four home runs. And the Braves had 15 hits in that win. So going from what, against the Reds?
To being two hit. Basically, yeah. The whole lineup was shut out, but Matty O. I think, Tiff, they had hit three home runs in the month of September until last night.
I think you're correct.
And then they hit four. It was needed because Renato, you're back in a tie for the third spot in the wild card. That's the good news. You had an offensive explosion. That's the good news. You were able to beat a pitcher that had kind of done well against you. That's the good news. The bad
what
news
goes
is
up must come down.
The fact that
there you go.
I'm going to give you one more piece of good news.
Oh, please do.
Your bullpen was phenomenal last night.
Oh, that's another good point.
Jesse Chavez, is it Brebia, they just signed him, and Luke Jackson gave you 8 innings combined with 8 strikeouts, 3 walks, 2 hits, no earned runs.
What's the bad news?
Jesse and Luke needed those, by the way.
Absolutely. So did Brebia as well, because he had struggles before he got here. The bad news, Tiff, since you asked, is that Renato Lopez went one inning, and his velocity, which at times has been at 96, was like averaging 91 last night. That is bad. It's also bad that he went out with right shoulder tight slash soreness. That is worse. So now we don't know if they were to sneak in where what the status would be for Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah. And that's the scary part. Yeah. There was a point last night when this game's going on, and I didn't get a chance to watch every inning. I had a lot going on at the house with the kids, and I kept glancing over, and it's like another tater. It's like at one point though, and I wonder if y'all feel this way. Do you ever look at it and go, "All right, can we save some of those for later?"
I'm glad like, you said that.
Can you just put some of those in the bag? Put the driver away. All right, we could use the putter a little bit here.
When I would watch games with my grandfather, he would be like, the game would be out of hand. He'd be like, "Well, they're wasting all their hits for tomorrow."
And it was the wasting the hits, but it was who is it? And like Michael Harris was kind of the catalyst in a lot of ways last night too. And you know, you see Sean Murphy and RC and guys that have struggled. I mean, guys that have not had the years that you know you thought they would in a lot of ways. And so you're like, "All right, man, yeah, like to pile on everything, but just calm down a little bit." But to your point, Ronaldo Lopez kind of mentioned it in the post game. He's like, "Dude, I went out there and I thought I was amping it up." He was like, "You know, it's been mid 90s and he throws 89 and he was like, "I don't really know what's going on here." So
I think a lot of it has to do with fatigue. I think it's funny too is that this is last night was the last two nights are a microcosm.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like this season in a nutshell. It's like you have no offense and great pitching. You lose somebody to an injury, and you have this random, out-of-nowhere offensive explosion. And tonight, you have no clue what you'll get. Make it make sense.
Yeah, the scary thing about Ronaldo Lopez is, from all accounts, like he feels fine. Like the checkups and everything with the trainers, and he's going to get an image today, but he's just like basically – I mean, he stayed in the game. After the first time they went and checked on him, he stays in the game. But his velocity is so far down that it's like, dude, I don't even know what's going on with you, but you ain't pitching anymore today. I can tell you that much.
Fatigue.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Monday Night Football means we'll be talking all about the Falcons Eagles Tuesday on Dukes and Bell. Get your Falcons.
All right.
Hey, somebody hush Mike Bell up. I've had enough
for
of him.
Two for two.
I've heard enough of him. Pipe down, Mike Bell. This is Tiffany's time.
All right. This is the TB's timeout right now. You want to know who had the audacity? Someone that I went on a random date with, like 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Oh, this is a way back.
I get a text last week of someone's number that is not even stored in my phone. And it's actually, I got a phone call first. I looked and said, "I don't know this number. I'm not going to answer it."
Oh,
so I didn't.
It's bold. 3 years later, I'm going to do a random phone call.
It is the most boldest act that I have ever encountered. Bold, bold, bold. I am taking a nap. I see this phone call. I ignore it. Right after the call, then I get a text. "Hey, Tiff, give me a call when you get a chance." So that implies, okay, I probably, you know, maybe I really know this person.
Yeah, it could be a producer or something.
Could be, exactly. So I'm thinking, okay, I probably need to, you know, give this person a ring back. I shoot the text back. I said, "Hey, sorry, so-and-so, what's your last name?" They tell me the last name, and I'm like, "You got to be kidding me. Like, what? So then it says, "No worries, just, you know, get back to me." I said, "Yeah, I'll give you a call back later," knowing good and well I'm not going to return the call.
Was it audacious because of the way the circumstances were last time y'all hung out?
No, it was one date, no love lost, like, cool, whatever. Like, there was nothing bad happened, right? You just knew it wasn't going to be a thing, and that was it. Just kind of move on. Never did I think that I would hear from this individual ever again, nor have they even crossed my mind in any capacity over the last 3 years. And yet they hit me up to ask me for a favor.
Oh, no. That's where the
audacity.
Yeah. Oh, that's why.
It's wild to me.
Wow.
Wild. Like the entitlement, the audacity, all of it.
I used to get that all the time.
Not only did I not return the call, the next day I get a follow-up text. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Saying, "Hey, this is just going to be a quick thing. Like, blah, 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 blah. This is what I need. Blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, looking at it, this can't be real life. This person cannot live in the real world.
Without going in grave detail, because I don't want to overstep any boundaries, but was it a favor that was like, "Oh, that's easy?"
Or was it?
Yes. It was. They were, sorry. I was getting very emphatic about this. They were asking for some sort of a sportsy favor.
Okay.
Right?
Is it something that would have cost you money or time?
Not time.
Okay.
And it's something that I would normally do, but in the grand scheme of things and schedule right now, and the fact that you had the audacity to reach out about this when I don't even communicate with you.
Yeah.
And again, your number's not in my phone at all. And you're asking me to help somebody else that I don't know.
Yeah.
But what it sounds like is maybe you want to call in a favor for some chick that maybe you're dating or something like that.
No.
Maybe it's just a friend.
Fair Foul Friday. That's
and then
foul.
You kind of be like, hey, I've got this connection. Who does that?
Wow.
Not cool. Not cool.
Fair Foul Friday, that is foul.
And the worst part is I think what should really be stated here is there is zero relationship with
there's
said person.
None.
And he is acting, or they are acting like there's a relationship for you to help someone else out that they maybe have a relationship with. That is not cool.
No.
They name dropped you.
Yes.
And they don't even really know you.
No.
Yeah.
The hate tip is what really just...
Hey, Tiff.
I can see it. Yeah, I used to date
like the
her.
Person was sitting right next to him when they texted you. Hey,
that's
Tiff.
That's what it feels like. Wait, what?
You know how that conversation went?
Even, go ahead.
He's like, yeah, I used to date her, but we ended on good terms. We good. I'll text her right now. Yeah. Hey, Tiff.
Yeah.
What's
see,
up?
Look, check this out.
Yeah.
Hey, Tiff. Yeah.
Nah.
You actually called me.
No.
That is.
No.
You know, anyway, that. Really grinds my gears.
That's great. I like that because that would have probably made my head explode.
You know, and I want to. You know what? Maybe we can toss that into a wake up call thing too. When have you had the audacity as a dude to resurface?
Or a female?
Or a female?
When has Thank you, Mike.
Had the audacity to resurface on you, asking for stuff, but there's no.
I was going to say, trust me, I've seen it on the other
Wild.
Side.
Wild.
Yeah, we want to hate everybody on this show.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson hopefully going to be dialing up something good on Monday night. What will it be? Let's take our best shot at guessing when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.